My name is Paola Testa. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 2nd of August 2009 at 6:22 a.m. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Robert Peter Hazel, 18th of March 1961, living in Bournemouth.
And how are you feeling about going up on the fourth plinth this morning?
I'm more excited now about going up than I thought I might actually. When we got to London yesterday, I was determined not to see the plinth, although I've been following it all the way through from the very start. I sit in front of a laptop pretty much all day, every day, and it's on one of my home tabs so that I can keep having a look to see what people are doing. I love the changeover. I was really, really inspired by the idea when I first heard about it, which might have been, January, February time, something like that. And I thought, this is a fantastic idea. And registered, and I knew I was going to go on it, which is odd. And what is even more odd is that I only found out I was going to go on it on Wednesday. There's someone else from our business who's going on the 22nd of August, and we've known about that already for probably about a month. So the lead up to that is we're doing it more as a work thing, all fun, but we've got time to plan for that. So we've had special t-shirts printed up and so on. And what I'm not surprised at is that I got a call just 3 days ago saying, can I go on in the morning? Because that is almost what should have happened for this, which is a strange thing to explain. I'm not surprised I'm here, but I'm really, really pleased I'm here. And when I came around the corner and saw it this morning, I suddenly thought, I felt a bit embarrassed, the fact that I'm going to be up there, and a little bit more obliged to do something that would be interesting because of a crowd of people there. And I thought, I've got to entertain these people. But now, within a couple of minutes, I thought, no, you haven't actually, because they're going to wander off. And so whatever I do up there is just personal to me. And the strange thing is, being strapped to a mobile phone and a laptop and work and calls and all the rest of it, that it's an hour of my time that I can decide what I do. And that, I think, is really, really good. Yeah, looking forward to it. And I'll be disappointed when the hour's over, I think. I think it's a fantastic opportunity. And what's really odd is, what I decided to do was to concentrate on the people that are around me. So apart from doing silly things like changing t-shirts and putting on a mask and throwing a sheep off and so on, I just decided that I wanted to focus. Originally I was going to focus on work, and that might come into a little bit of publicity, but then a couple of days ago I thought, no, I don't want to do that for work. I'd rather just do it for myself. And because of the excitement of family and friends and texts last night saying, good luck, we're going to be watching you, that's when I decided that I'm just going to get a piece of paper and write all the people around us that form our little world just by their first names. Because it seems like, although I'm the one on the plinth, everyone else is involved. And I know that people's alarms are now going to be going off, and they're going to know. I'd be really excited if it was someone that was a friend of ours or a member of our family that was going up there. I know my heart would be beating at 5 to 7, and we both get a bit emotional about such things. So I know how excited we would feel if we were on the other end. And I feel that me being up there is almost their contribution as well. The fact that they're home, we know that people in Spain, France and Canada are going to be watching. My younger son is going to get out of bed and watch it, which will be amazing if he does, because getting out on a Sunday morning at this time would be pretty unusual, although he is going to work later on, so that's an excuse to get up early. So I think it's not just me up there. I feel that it's me and everyone else that I know going to be up there, and everyone's really excited about it. And when you look at, when I've been watching it on the internet and you see people up there for an hour, it almost seems, some people go up there and it just seems that that they just stood there and it doesn't seem to affect them. But for me, I feel quite emotional now about going up. So I think, I feel a bit like the chosen one. what's the reason why I knew I was going to go up there is because my eldest son, Ben, passed away 2.5 years ago. And therefore, I think that he's arranged for me to go up there. So I don't want to, I'm going to get all funny now. And there are such strange coincidences that happen that the last minute call for me to go up there, I thought, I know who's arranged this. And there's been some funny things that have happened over the last 2.5 years, some very odd things that Peter and I both think, well, we know why that is. One little significant thing, if you think that there's people are still around you when they're not, and they send you little signs, is that £2 coin symbolises Ben, my eldest son. And we always get a £2 coin in our change at some very significant moment, which is quite odd. And I know when I'm going to get a £2 coin. I know I'm going to be given one back in my change. And it almost always happens. He used to laugh at me because I would see a coin on the pavement, I would always pick it up. And he'd say, why do you want it? It's a 5p or it's a 2p, what do you need that for? And I'd just say, well, the time that you don't need the penny is when you've got too much money. And I'd, go out in traffic and pick a penny up. Yesterday evening, went out and found two coins on the ground. So we're both saying, oh, that's funny coincidence. In the middle of Piccadilly Circus, where there were thousands of people, two coins, and I found them, no one else had picked them up. So I think, I know what's going on here. I think I've got him to thank for being here today. So that's why red was his colour. So I got my red shoes, my red socks, and that's the reason why I'm here today.
What? How does the £2 coin symbolise Ben?
When we lost Ben in January 07, Peter and I together, we've been together for 20 years. In May 07, Peter's eldest daughter was getting married. So it's going to be a big family occasion. We've both got two children each, but now with Ben, one of them's missing. It's going to be a particularly tough day. Rachel had one red rose in her yellow bouquet. She had a yellow theme for the wedding, but it was one red balloon on each table amongst the yellow balloons and so on. So he was there in memory of colour. Peter had to go off and obviously take the bride to the place to get married. I was walking down the hill with all the family and Tim, my boy who's 21 on Tuesday, feeling that it was going to be a really emotional day, that Ben wasn't going to be there. The £2 coin thing, we were walking down a long, busy traffic road in Bath where Rachel was getting married. All the family, there was maybe 20 or 25 of us all walking down this long hill, and I heard a clattering coming from behind me of a coin rolling down the hill, and I turned around. It's not a sound that you hear. The traffic was all waiting because there were traffic lights at the top, and I turned around and there was a £2 coin rolling down the hill. Now, bearing in mind it was a long hill and we're only a quarter of the way down, this £2 coin stopped rolling and was right here by the curb, right by me. And I said to Tim, where would that have come from? Where would a £2 coin have come from? Because no one would roll it down the hill. It's cars, there's no one else around. And why would it stop at my feet? So I picked it up, I put it in my pocket. And I think that was him saying, I'm with you today. And that's the reason why we always save our £2 coins now. And that and finding coins in certain places at significant times, that's his little symbol to us. right.
you've touched a little bit upon what you're going to do on the plinth.
Yeah.
Would you mind elaborating and talking us through the hour that you'll be having up there?
Originally, I was going to make a big hat out of cups from our business, Shakeaway. And I might do that just because I thought I had to do something creative. Therefore, I'm gonna, what do I wear? So I've got my Superman t-shirt on now, but I'll change that. If you can't decide what to wear, then wear it for 10 minutes, and then I'm gonna change my t-shirt into something, another t-shirt, and then another t-shirt. Well, that's the plan, but I'm not fixed to anything. So whether that'll happen or not, I don't know. But what I wanted to do was to just get a big piece of wallpaper. I'm gonna put that out on the plinth. I'm gonna start with our names, Peter and me, in the middle, and then it's going off on tangents to the rest of the people that are important to us, just by their first names. Just like I suppose a family and friends tree, if you like, but not in the traditional genealogy sense. Just all the people that I know will be thinking about us being up there today and tuning in on the internet and watching, which is the exciting thing for me. So that's the reason, if I write their name down, then they're up there as well. So, and then we'll be able to have that to take away. So yeah, it's really sort of sharing the hour with other people, which is why I just wanted to write their names down and probably get some texts or something and wave to people. So that's what I find really exciting, is that everyone can watch and be involved.
And has Peter and other friends and family, have they all been involved in helping you get ready for the hour and your ideas?
No, not at all. Because we've only had 2 or 3 days to know about this, really Wednesday, because although it should be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but we had to go away for work first thing Thursday morning for meetings and various things. So whatever wasn't ready by Wednesday night was not going to be ready, which I think was probably the right thing to do, because then it's probably means more about me than if I'd created something that I normally wouldn't create. So I'm quite happy, actually, that that there's no notice, that I'm just going to get out there and do it, which is what it should be, I think.
Who would you say that you're doing it for?
Probably would say Ben initially, because I think this is very typical of him, that he would give me absolutely no notice, and knowing that we're going to be away for a few days beforehand. So I thank him for that, but it's the family and friends and the other kids. I'm going to be up there thinking about the nice people.
Do you have any expectations about what it will be like on the plinth?
I think initially, the initial reaction might be complete exposure, a feeling of nakedness. But I would like to hope that it becomes fairly quickly home for an hour, and my space, and no one else is allowed up there. And personal communication with people, although you're exposed, I'd like to think that it feels quite personal. I suppose when you look up there and you see the cameras, that you've got no control over what they're filming, and sometimes when you look at it on the internet and they zoom in so close, I think that's probably the feeling that people get when they go on Big Brother, that I'm being watched at every angle. But I would like to just forget about that within a couple of minutes and just think, I put myself up for this, so let's just do it.
Would you like people who are on the ground in Trafalgar Square to engage with you or interact?
I don't know if they do, but I'm not particularly interested in doing it for that audience. I'm doing it for the experience, the stories that will come out of this that we'll talk about over dinner and so on. The feeling, the uniqueness of it. So doing it for a local audience doesn't particularly interest me, I think. Otherwise I would have done something creative, or I would have done something that would have been entertaining for people to watch. So, although if I do put I've got different masks and things to wear, so I suppose I am doing that for the local people rather than the people on watching at home. So I guess part of my thought process was having to do something that might be visual for them. But whether they speak or not, no, I don't mind.
Have you felt pressure to perform at certain times whilst you've been coming up with your ideas?
That was my first thought. I've got to do something, because the people that you see on the Friday night summary on the Sky Arts channel, they show the people that have been creative. Not that I'm doing this to get on that program, but they get shown because they're the more interesting people. But I think initially when you get the phone call, your first thought is, what am I going to do? And then for me, within an hour or two of racking brains, then actually you can just do what you want to do. It's your hour, you're not. Otherwise, I think I would be doing it for someone else specifically. And it doesn't have to be that. And the people that I am thinking about while I'm up there, I don't need to impress. So I feel quite casual about it, surprisingly so.
Do you have any hopes or fears about how it will go when you're up there?
I don't think I have any fears at all. My initial reaction when I came around this morning and saw it for the first time in the flesh was this feeling of exposure, and therefore that I do need to do something clever. And now I don't. Everyone's so nice here that it just feels like a piece of something that everyone's involved in. And so now I don't have any fears. And all my hopes are just being realised at the moment. The fact that I'm here is the hope. So, yeah, I'm thrilled to bits.
Have you participated in arts projects before?
No, I don't think I have. And if you'd asked me before, I'm not sure whether this would have been classed as art. Which we're interested in unusual things. I think it's an absolute amazing piece of art. But I think the fact that it is art and artistic and expression comes out the more and more that you watch of it. I think it was incredibly exciting the first day that it started and we were tuned in on the internet, and I hardly could take our eyes off it on that day. You do get used to it, but look at every different person as the individual. And that's why I love the changeover. The fact that one person's time is starting and the other person's time is finishing. And that moment on the hour of changeover, for me, is probably the most significant, because that probably means the most to each person than being up there, which is probably a funny way of looking at it. But I think it's the start and the finish of any experience, that the start you're full of anticipation, and an hour later when you're finishing, you've learned so much in that time that you didn't know the hour before, which is an obvious thing to say, but I think the changeover time is possibly the most significant. It's telling you what you don't know and what you do know. And yeah, I think it's a chapter of life that these 2,400 people, I think, are really lucky people. So yeah, I'm very lucky.
Do you think we're seeing a portrait of the nation through this project?
I really do, and I'm so pleased it's in England, that I think this is a very British thing to do. I wouldn't hold the same interest for it if it was in another country, because I think that this represents what we're all about, that some people just go and sit and stand and contemplate, other people do something crazy, other people do things very artistically. There are the charity and political campaigns, and I think the whole thing is very English. It sums us all up, and we're an eclectic bunch, and we're not afraid to make fools out of ourselves, and it had to happen here in England. It really did.
What are some of the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
It's all the people that are around me. We're working incredibly hard at the moment, 7 days a week, 12-hour days. We've got some shops that we're opening more shops of. We're all over the country. We're enjoying it, but surprisingly not stressed. I think because Peter and I work together, so it would be really hard if only one of us was in this business, because the other one wouldn't quite understand it, the pull of it. We've got some really amazing people working with us, helping the growth. And so that is fairly all-consuming, but the family and friends around us are crucial things, particularly family. And I've got a bit of a weird family, but Peter's got a fantastic family. I think that's the enduring thing, because if work is good or work is not, well, that can crumble, but the people around you are just still there. So that's the most important thing, and the thing that money can't buy you, the people that like you for what you are and don't have to like you, then I think they're the important things. That's what we're all about, really.
What's your business?
We've got a business called Shakeaway. We sell takeaway milkshakes, 150 flavours in each shop. We've got we've been doing it for 10 years, and we've got 26 shops so far. Which is daft. I've actually got to think if we've got 26 or 25, because it's one a week opening at the moment, two this coming week, one on Wednesday, one on Saturday. It's full on, but it's great fun. We are enjoying it. And so we're back here again on the 22nd with Cupman, who is our life-size mascot. One of our people's going to go dressed up as Cupman, so that's the publicity for work in a fun way. That's what we're promoting. So we've created quite a lot of interest, I think, with our customers in this project. And some people have said, I've gone on, I've logged on, I've signed up, because we're promoting it now as an interesting project through work for that sense. So that's opened it up to another avenue of people that might not have heard about it, which is fun, yeah.
And just keeping an eye of the time, I'll come to the last question. How would you summarise your experience of the project, or what does it mean to you to have got your place and to be a part of this project?
The best thing for me is the fact that probably when I signed up, I didn't consciously think, what am I going to do? But I just signed up. As I said earlier, I knew I was going to get on it because of you-know-who helping. So that bit didn't come as a surprise, oddly. The whole experience is almost that it feels quite normal that I'm going to go and stand on this plinth, that it feels like it should happen. I feel quite calm about it, and that I don't need to try too hard. That's the odd thing. All power to the people that have put so much effort into their hour. And I might come down and think, I should have done this, I should have done that. But I'm getting to the age now where you don't regret so many things as you do when you're younger. So you do for what was right at the time. Really, really grateful to be on it. And it just feels like part of my world now. It's going to be a little story, part of what I did.
Great, thank you.